Clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta. We welcome you aboard our highway of the sky.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Another episode of the Monorail Tales. I think it's fair to say that most people are wanting to know what life is like in the Disney parks at this moment with all the changes that are taking place. So for this show, we have past guest and good friend of Monorail Tales, Jill Bivens, who has just got back from her recent trip down to Orlando and will be sharing her trip report with us. We might even be lucky to hear from Jill's six-year-old son, Colin, on some of the things that he enjoyed the most while he was there in the parks with his mum. So the first thing I had to do is say hello, Jill, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, you know what's so strange about this show, Jill? I have no co-hosts.
That is weird.
Actually, it's not really weird, so say too much, because you've been on our show now a few times, so it feels like I'm just talking to another co-host. But you are a good friend as well, so this is going to be good.
I can't wait.
All right, okay. So Jill, the first question I've got for you is, when was the last time you went to Disney?
I was there last before this past trip in January. You know, I never stay away long.
Right. And actually, I think we talked to you then, didn't we? Because you were sharing about the hotel that you had stayed at, the Murder Hotel.
Oh, that was in January. I've been, I get a wild hair and I just go.
Right. So on this trip, where did you end up staying for your vacation?
No murder closet this time. I stayed at Pop Century.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
We love the Skyliner.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It's a good job Steve's not here. Otherwise, we'd never finish this podcast with you two guys talking about the Skyliner. So on this trip, how long did you go for?
We were there for a whole week. We spent the first half of the trip at Universal, and then we switched over to Disney.
Oh, so information on both parks. This is a bonus.
Yeah. We had a blast at both.
Assuming you drove down?
We did. Mm-hmm.
You said the first part of your trip was spent at Universal. Do you want to just share some of the highlights or lowlights of Universal?
Sure. We actually, when we first got there, we were staying at Universal's brand new hotel, Endless Summer Dockside. And I have to say, I love that hotel so much. It's really nice. And the quick service food, I really enjoyed it. And it's really affordable, which is nice. And Colin, my son, just absolutely adores Universal. He's a Harry Potter fanatic. So we went in, we got wands. We went around doing magic and we ate at both the Leaky Cauldron and the Three Broomsticks.
Okay. So this hotel then, Jill, is it very close? I'm assuming it's close to the actual park. Can you walk or is there a bus?
It is close, but it's not as close as the others. The others are all right there near City Walk, where you can either walk or take a boat. Endless Summer is down the road a little bit, so you have to take a bus.
Okay.
One thing that I don't love is that resort guests don't get free parking at the park. So unless you want to pay double, pay to park at your hotel and pay to park at Universal, the bus is the way to go. But honestly, we loved the bus service there. It was very quick. There was really never any waiting for a bus.
Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. I have never been to Universal. I mean, this has probably come up in our conversations before. Well, okay, first of all, I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I got loads of questions.
I surprised Universal on you. So.
Oh, no, even for Disney, I got loads of questions. This is me. All right, you get into Universal. Now, did you go to Universal in January as well?
No, well, we did in July, but not this past January.
Okay, so you get into the parks. How crowded is Universal at this moment?
At this moment, it's, I'd say that it's probably a regular crowd for a slow time. It's not like, oh my goodness, we have the park to ourselves, like when they first reopened.
Right.
But it's not super packed. You're not going to be waiting 2 hours for everything you want to do either. I definitely recommend the Express Pass because the lines do get kind of lengthy with the current crowds. But it's manageable. I'd say the longest we waited for anything was probably 45 minutes for one of the Harry Potter rides, Escape from Gringotts.
Oh, wow. By the time even I get this out published, there's so many changes going on. But at this moment, when you went, did they have their regular hours or are they still cut back on hours?
They were pretty regular. Universal kind of always closed a little earlier than Disney parks do, which makes it really easy if you want to do a day at Universal and then pop over to Disney Springs. But yeah, they were open from 8 or 9 in the morning. I can't remember exactly till 6. Well, 5 at Universal Studios and 6 at Islands of Adventure.
Now, during your time over the course of the days, were you able to do everything you wanted to at Universal?
For the most part, yeah. Our first day, we were split between Volcano Bay, their water park, and Universal Studios. So we did kind of have to do a little bit of hustling there, but for the most part, with Colin in tow, we got everything done. If it had just been me, probably not, because I'm a thrill ride junkie and I love all the coasters and things that we usually skip when it's just Colin and I.
Right. Now, what about food? Because I know at Disney, and we will get to this when you get to the Disney parks, what was it like getting food at Universal? Did they have the same kind of setup that Disney put in place where you have to order? And
They do have the mobile order, but one thing that I like that Universal is doing that Disney is not currently doing is that they still have their dining plan in place. And their dining plan is done very differently than Disney's. You can choose which days you want it. You can get it whether you're a hotel guest or not. And it's really affordable for the quick service. It's $25 and some change a day. But unlike Disney, you only get one meal and one drink and one snack. So there's a little bit of a trade-off there.
Right.
But we did do that. We got the dining plan, and it was really easy to get everything done via mobile order. You go into a restaurant and you sit down, which is different than Disney does it, and you place your order from your table, and then they bring it out to you.
Okay, Jill, before we move on to the Magic Kingdom and parks, is there anything else that you think our listeners need to know, should know, if they're heading to Universal anytime soon?
Universal is wonderful, and it's a great time. But if you're going at this particular moment, it might be good to be aware that social distancing is not as enforced, we have noticed, at Universal as it is at Disney. And it does seem a little more crowded than Disney does. So that's something to keep in mind when deciding whether or not you're comfortable going, I think.
Right. Now, what's interesting about your trip is when you first went down, and once again, we'll touch on this once we change parks, was when you first went down, masks were mandatory. But by the time your trip mm-hmm. ended at over at Disney, they weren't mandatory. So that's definitely something I would want to touch on before we close out the show. So now you're moving over to Pop Century, yes?
Yes, we moved to Pop Century about halfway through our trip and finished out the rest of the trip at Disney in our nice little happy Disney bubble.
Now, let's stay with the resort for a moment. How busy was the resort?
It wasn't too terribly busy, honestly. We didn't find that it was any more busy than it was in January when we were there.
Right.
We stayed off property in July, but we were at Pop Century this past January, and it didn't seem any more busy. There were definitely plenty of people there, but it wasn't packed.
Jill, one thing that I keep seeing on Facebook is that people have had issues getting over to Hollywood Epcot via the Skyliner. Did you have any trouble with that?
I did not. A lot of people are reporting about really long lines, especially at the Caribbean Beach Hub to get
yes.
to Epcot. And that is absolutely true. The line is very long, but the Skyliner doesn't stop. So the line keeps moving. We waited, if you're familiar with the Skyliner hub at all,
we waited
all the way down the ramp, all the way down the ramp at Caribbean Beach to get to Epcot. And it only took 15 minutes. So the line looks a lot more intimidating than it really is, partially due to the social distancing measures and partially just due to the later open of Epcot and everybody sort of congregating at once. But it does move really quickly, I think.
Just staying with transportation for a moment, did you have any issues with the buses or anything?
Actually, funny story. I tried to cheat the system. And it failed big time. We really, really love the Skyliner. I think I mentioned that. And so we thought it would be really clever to take the bus to Riviera and then get the Skyliner back from Magic Kingdom. Because especially for Magic Kingdom, I find that the bus for Pop Century are always so long. The line is so long. The bus stop is always the farthest. So we thought we would cheat the system, get a bus from Riviera, and then hop on the Skyliner. Well, they only had one bus on Riviera, so we ended up waiting 45 minutes for a bus and barely making it to the Skyliner before it shut down for the night. Fun.
Wow.
Moral of the story, kids. Don't cheat the system.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think the last time Steve and I went down to Disney, we didn't do the parks, so there was no need for us to be taking a bus to Magic Kingdom. So I didn't experience that. But once again, I've heard comments from Facebook people that they've had issues with the long wait for a bus.
Pop Century is one of the most popular resorts, mostly because of the price point and the fact that it has the Skyliner.
So what was the first park you went to, Jill?
We went straight to Magic Kingdom because I can't stay away from my castle for very long.
All right, so Magic Kingdom was your first park of your visits. What were the crowds like that day?
That day, the crowds were pretty light. I'd say that they were, like, to put it in context, maybe a mid-November day. You know, so it's not completely empty, but you're not miserable. We waited minutes for Peter Pan, which is pretty darn good.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch. How long was the wait time for Peter Pan?
25 minutes, which is sort of unheard of.
Yeah.
But the line was a little silly. Like, I almost walked away from the line, and I'm one who has said many times, hey, social distancing makes the lines look longer than they really are. Don't get intimidated. And I still didn't follow my own advice almost, because the line went all the way back into Liberty Square through Columbia Harbor House and back into Fantasyland. And it was still only a 25-minute wait.
Wow. And...
Yeah.
I did lose you for a bit, but I think I heard you say that the crowds were like what you would find in November.
Yeah, like mid-November when you know, the Halloween crowds have gone, the Christmas crowds aren't quite. So, you know, it's not completely empty, but it's not like wall-to-wall packed either.
Right. So how many days did you went to Magic Kingdom? What was your next park you went to?
We went to Hollywood Studios the next day.
Okay, did you get all the rides you wanted in at Hollywood?
We absolutely did. And I had a DAS pass this time, which did help. But we also skip Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror just because Colin's not quite ready to give those a try yet. Other than that, we rode everything we wanted to ride. We got everything done in Toy Story Land. We got everything done in Galaxy's Edge. And we rode Star Tours three times because my little Sith Lord just loves it.
Oh, that's great. So what time did you guys get to the park at Hollywood then?
I kind of took it easy this trip just due to some health issues I recently had. And we didn't really get to rope drop this trip. We got there around 10 in the morning.
Right. And I don't know if I have asked you this or not. What was the crowds like at Hollywood?
Hollywood kind of always seems a little more crowded just because of the smaller walkways. But like I said, we got absolutely everything done. And Toy Story Midway Mania was maybe 15 minute wait. So, you know, usually that's got at least an hour.
So after Magic Kingdom Hollywood, you went to Epcot. Anything special that day?
We did the Flower and Garden Festival, which is going on right now. And that's always a favorite of ours. We love doing the spike pollination scavenger hunt. And the butterfly garden is always fun, too.
I would imagine that area was kind of busy as well, wasn't it?
It was. The past two trips we've had post-COVID, we felt like Epcot was all ours. It felt like there was nobody there. Time there was definitely people there.
Right. After Epcot, did you go to Animal Kingdom?
Didn't this trip. We skipped it.
Oh, you skipped Animal Kingdom. Okay. Let's go back to, so you did everything at Hollywood. You got everything in there. Did you get everything done at Epcot that you wanted to do?
We rode every single ride at Epcot that day.
Wow. Good for
it
you.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I want to know your personal view on, and I have to apologize because I cannot at the moment think of the correct name for it, but the new fireworks show that Epcot is going to be doing, there's that great big wheel in the lake. What was your view? Literally, what's your view on having that in the middle of the lake?
You know, it's kind of an eyesore, but I didn't really notice it all that much. Most of my time there, I'm playing pretend when I'm at Epcot. I'm traveling the world, and when we go in the World Showcase countries, I feel like I'm there, and I'm pretending that I'm there because I'm just a big kid at heart.
Ooh.
So I didn't really notice the lake all that much. But when I did notice it, I was like, ugh, that's ugly. Could they not make it any prettier? But, you know, I think Harmonious is going to be a great show. And I think it's going to be worth it once we see what its purpose is.
Yeah. And I think I haven't been down to Epcot since it's been placed there. And, you know, I mean, everyone knows because I keep saying it. I love taking my photos and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, you know, is that going to be an eyesore in my photos now? But I'm holding judgment, just like you said, you know, wait for the show because it might be worth it.
Right. And I actually did see some drawings and some blue sky sketches of what it's going to be like once it starts. And it looks like maybe that wheel is possibly going to be a fountain during the day. And if that's the case, it'll be a really great addition.
Yeah. And that's why I said, I mean, I'm always quick to be negative, I think. On this one, I'm going to hold back. Okay, what about food? Because I know that's also been an issue for a lot of people, the food ordering and places to eat. Did you have any issues with that?
You know, the complaints are valid about the food. I think that a lot of it is just knowing where to eat. Woody's Lunchbox is going to have a 3-hour wait.
Wow.
Yeah, that's sort of ridiculous. But ABC Commissary is going to be like, when do you want to come? Come whenever. So it's a lot of it is really in prior planning and listening to shows like this one and reading blogs and knowing which places have the higher wait times and avoiding them, which we did for the most part. And we really enjoyed Regal Eagle this time. And I ordered from our hotel room before we even got there. So we got our pick of times, which I think is something that is hard to get used to with quick service, because you think of quick service as this like on demand kind of thing, and planning it in ahead of time is not something that we're used to. But if you can get used to the change and think about where you want to eat early in the day and order it ahead of time, I think it really works.
Would you like to see that kept in place then?
Not in its current form, I don't think. I think that there are ways that they could modify it to appeal to the people who want to plan like that or the people who want to be spontaneous. I feel like there's some sort of middle ground there they can come to.
So for people that's planning on going down, it's definitely worth doing a bit of homework on some of these wait times, restaurants and things. Did you hear many of the guests complaining about it?
Yeah, especially in Toy Story Land. Like I said, Woody's Lunchbox will have a 3-hour wait pretty consistently. And if you just got on the app because you're hungry now and you want a quick lunch, being told that you can't eat for 3 hours is going to make you sort of grumpy.
Well, I just think of kids as well. So, I mean,
exactly.
I suppose listening to you, one bit of advice is, you know, to make sure you've got snacks for the little ones,
absolutely.
In your bag.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Disney will let you take in your own food and drink. And one thing that I do for my son that I learned after my July trip, when I could not find a strawberry Uncrustable anywhere at Epcot, I take them with me. And I have one on hand all the time to give him in case he has a food emergency.
Yeah. Because, oh, wow, I can't imagine, you know, just finding out you've got to wait 3 hours, you know, for lunch.
Yeah, I actually, that was in July that I learned that little tidbit. And I went to them and I said, hey, look, you know, we're done with Toy Story Land. We want to move on, but we can't because we're waiting on our food. Is there any way we can, like, cancel our order or, you know, something? Because, you know, I didn't expect to be moved to the front of the line. I'm not entitled. But they said, well, you can get your food to go now if you want. You just can't go sit down at one of our tables. And so that was acceptable to me. And I did that. And that was a little rough because they just handed me a tray and said, good luck, basically. So we were walking around Toy Story Land with a tray full of food trying to find a place to sit.
Yeah, good luck there.
Yeah, that was rough. We ended up eating on the ground, which I don't recommend doing.
Yeah. So they haven't opened up all of the counter services then?
No, they have not. I think that probably it's time to open up more given the demand.
Right. Now, besides counter service, did you guys do just dining anywhere?
We did. We had two really special meals that I was really excited about. At Hollywood Studios, we went to Sci-Fi, which I'd been to before, but Colin never had. And at Magic Kingdom, our second Magic Kingdom day, we went to Cinderella's Royal Table, which we haven't been to since 2016.
Now, was it easy to get reservations for that, Jill?
No, it was not. Basically, you, especially with some of the more in-demand restaurants like Sci-Fi and like Cinderella's Royal Table, you have to be online at 6 a.m. on your 60-day mark, or you're not going to get it. I mean, of course, there's always the possibility of cancellations, and there are websites that'll monitor that for you. But if you want to guarantee to your best chance of getting the place that you want, you need to really be on your game at 6 a.m. on your 60-day mark to make those reservations.
All this planning that you have to do, do you feel it spoiled your time at Disney in any way?
I personally don't, but I'm a planner. I love every aspect about obsessing about my trip and planning it and mapping it out. I'm the girl who will make an itinerary and can dime it down to the minute. So I might not be the one to ask that question, but I think it's great because you don't have all of the, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. In the park, you can just, you know exactly what you're going to do, and you just go about living your best life that day.
Right. I think for me, I have a hard time thinking, where do I want to eat, you know, in 3 weeks time. But I mean, I think, you know, for Steve and I, we tend to take a lot of our own food down with us, so we don't have to deal, you know, with those issues. Plus, and I think this is a big plus, we don't have kids with us. You know, if we had, you know, a Colin with us, it would be totally different. And yes, I'd be doing the planning for sure.
Yeah, it is different. When I go down by myself, I'm much more free-spirited about things than when I'm going with Colin or when my husband and Colin go with us. It really just depends on where you're at and the kind of vacationer you are, I think.
Now, I don't know if Colin is going to be able to come on. We've had some Skype issues. We're on a good, don't move, Jill, point here, because you're coming through clear. But Colin had a magical moment, didn't he, while he was at the parks?
He did. We had one especially magical moment before our second Magic Kingdom day. A little boy came up to Colin with a balloon, and he said, his mom said that it was their last day and they just wanted to pass it on. And so they gave Colin a balloon, and you should have seen that boy with that balloon. He was like, it was like he'd won a trophy.
Oh, you know what? I think this is great. And there is a group on Facebook, Jill, and I don't know if you know it, but when you're leaving the resort and you have leftovers, be it, you know, even alcohol, beer, I've seen strollers, I've you name it, I've seen it, where people have, you know, this group, it's, they go on and they say, you know, outside room 3, 4, 5 in the morning, you're going to find all this. It's free, you know, for people that are coming in to the resort. So people are leaving stuff for others to go and pick up, and, you know, other people can get on here, onto this group, and, you know, if they need a stroller, you know, maybe there's one outside, you know, Pop Century, room 456. I think it's great. And that's what happened with the balloon then, yeah?
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And it was really magical. He felt very special. He was dressed like a prince that day because we were going to eat in the castle. And I don't think I have too many years left that he'll let me do that to him. So I'm enjoying it while I can. And the mom said that the little boy said, I want to give it to the prince, when trying to decide who to give the balloon to. So he felt really happy about that.
Jill, the group I'm talking about on Facebook is called Disney Free Cycle, in brackets, Finding Homes for Leftovers from Trips. And anyone that's going down should maybe just go check out this. If, you know, you might have some free food waiting for you, or you might just want to leave free food for another guest. So Disney Free Cycle, Facebook, check it out.
That's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
I just love going on that page, just seeing what they're giving away.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff on it as well. So, but Colin, what were some of his highlights? Did he go on any rides that he hadn't been on before?
Yes, he did. And I was so proud of him. He tried Astro Orbiter for the first time. He's a little timid, and the height has always sort of scared him a bit. But this time he, all on his own, said, "Hey, I want to try that." And we did. And he just thought it was the best thing ever.
Oh, wow. Good for him. I haven't been on that.
Yeah. He also built a droid this past trip at the droid factory, and that to him was the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Oh, I mean, he really is a nice age to be going down with to Disney.
I like to say that there's no perfect age to go to Disney, but, you know, he's at an age where he's still hanging on to some of the younger kid stuff, but he's also looking ahead to some of the older kid stuff. And we're just right in that happy medium that I think is so fun.
Yeah. Now, one thing that happened to you while you were there, one day you were wearing a mask and next day you weren't. You want to share your thoughts on that?
It was amazing. I was so excited when I heard that Disney was going to follow, because Universal had already announced that they were going to go mask free on that day. And we were speculating, is Disney going to, or is Disney going to wait and see what happens at Universal? So when Disney went ahead and announced that they were going to do the same, it was 10 p.m. and we were in Epcot, and we threw our masks in the air like graduation caps in celebration. It was really fun. There were a lot of tears and happiness when that news broke. And the next day was kind of strange, honestly. It was, we left our hotel room, and the day before when we left our hotel room, everybody's wearing masks. Nobody's really smiling or speaking to anyone. And the next day, nobody's wearing masks and everybody's smiling at everyone and saying hello. And it was just, it was a much different atmosphere all around.
That's interesting. Now, were you still seeing some people with masks on?
Yes. Yeah. Of course, the decision to wear a mask or not is completely optional, and it's up to your personal comfort level. So there were people who still wore masks, and the rest areas where you could go and take your mask off while sitting stationary are still open for those individuals.
One day you have a mask, next day you don't. Does the crowd kind of change in the sense of it's all back to normal now? Or is there still that people are still keeping their distance somewhat?
It was about 50-50. There was a lot of people, us included, who were still keeping our distance. Honestly, I kind of like the distance, and I hope that it stays, because, you know, I don't really want to be squished like a sardine next to somebody. But there were people who, especially in lines for attractions, for Pirates especially, we felt like we had joined another family, because we were waiting patiently on our please wait here line, and this other family was just sort of surrounding us, behind us, and we were like, hi, who are you?
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, once you start the line to a show, ride, you put your masks on. At this,
yes,
as we're talking today, that's what they're requesting, right?
Right, yeah. Right now, if you're indoors at all, ever, if you're in line or if you're on an attraction or watching a show, you still have to wear your mask. And they will remind you, because it does get a little hard to, especially that first day was a little hard to remember, oh, I have to put my mask on now, when you get in a line, because it's still outdoors a lot of times. But, you know, they're very polite about it, the cast members are, and they just gently remind you, and you put it on, and it's no big deal. I've got my opinions as to how long that's going to last, but that's just rumor, so we won't do that.
Right. So, actually, as soon as you start the line, even if the line is outside, even at that point, you have to put your mask on at this time, yeah? Okay.
At that time. Now, some of the lines that, it was less enforced outside than others. Butterfly Garden at Epcot, they did not enforce that at all. But other lines they were strictly enforcing. And I think it sort of depends on the cast member, and it depends on how packed the line gets in terms of closeness to others.
Right. Now, is there anything else that you think would be useful to any of our listeners that are planning a trip?
Well, you know, I think we covered most of it. You know, just keep in mind that you're still going to have to wear masks quite a bit of time, even though they are optional outside, and plan accordingly. But for the most part, I think we covered it.
That's great. And it's a shame that, you know, Colin can't come on this episode, but hopefully we will get him on next episode. So, for sure, work on him.
yes. He's quite shy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think at the age of six I'd like to be talking to a strange woman with a strange accent. So, I even have trouble with my husband with that one. So, anyway. Okay, Jill, you are a blogger. You have your own site. And Monorail Tales, really, we can't thank you enough, because you are a very good supporter of our group. You allow us to post on your group page. And it's really appreciated. So for our listeners, where can we find you, Jill?
You can find me on all of the social channels, Minnie on Main on Facebook, Minnie on Main on Instagram, at @main_mini on Twitter, or you can find the site itself directly on www.minionmain.com.
Okay, so listeners, take a moment, show love to Jill, go and check out her links,
yes,
that she's
please.
Just shared, and they will go in with our show notes. And I think that's it. I'm sure you're already planning your next trip, Jill.
I'm back in July.
Oh, really?
Just me this time, no Colin.
Oh, interesting. We're going to have to do a solo trip with Jill.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. Are you planning on going to October the 1st?
I wish I could. All of our we just moved, and so everything was up in the air, so I couldn't commit to planning a trip when park passes were available and hotel rooms were available, and now they're all booked up.
Wow.
Yeah, I do plan on the celebration's 18 months long, though, so I do plan on getting there definitely a couple of times before it's over.
Well, as a group, Monorail Tales group, we're all going down, all the co-hosts are getting together, and this is going to be really interesting because we've never met each other. Well, I've met Rick, and maybe Rick's met Bill, you know, but as a group, we have never met each other. And I just wonder if we're still going to be talking with each other afterwards. we'll wait
and
see.
That's exciting. I'm super, yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Jill, you can be a guest co-host and interview me on that one. How about that?
That would be so fun.
So anyway, Jill, until next time, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know we've had Skype issues, but we got there in the end. And to our listeners, thanks for staying with us, listening to this great episode from Jill. Take care, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny.
and thank you.